Good morning, everyone. Just a quick mic check that I can be heard. Yes. Hey, Ken. Hey, everyone. Well, welcome to our Sunday gathering here on the special date of 11/11. Yes, 11/11. Well, all dates are special. But good to see everyone, and also all those listening out on the radio. Let's just take a few minutes here and start by giving our attention to each other and saying hi and welcoming each other across the pews, shaking hands, wishing each other peace and love. And I will turn the mic back over to Lynn to play our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakened to a forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Thanks, Lynn. I just turned my camera on there to say hi to everyone real quick. So it looks like Pueblo West has got some snow. So awesome. All day. All right. Probably in La Vida as well, I would imagine. So next up is our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And today I want to highlight our third core value, which is we accept one true self, which is presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And that is the thought of the person. Okay, so announcements for today. We have our Movie Watchers group. This is coming up on Sunday, the 25th. Join us for that. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be watching Little Buddha, starring Keanu Reeves, Bridget Fonda, and Chris Isaac. Now, Regina requested that we watch this movie again since it does offer us an opportunity to explore topics as we're examining and as we read NTI Revelation for gentle healing. This movie tells the story of Siddhartha, later known as the Buddha. It traces his spiritual journey from ignorance to true enlightenment. And I know many of you have probably seen the movie, but I'm looking forward to seeing that again because it's been a while since I've seen it, so should be good to look at it with new eyes. And next announcement is Regina has started a new program on Wednesday afternoons. It is called Enlightened Leadership, Tao Te Ching. While most people believe effective leadership lies in knowledge and power, the Tao teaches it lies in emptiness, stillness, and presence. Regina will share from the Tao as she contemplates its principles in order to fully embody them. If you'd like to listen, the program is on Wednesdays at 2:30, 11 a.m. Pacific time. And I do have that marked in my calendar. I'm going to stop my workday and listen. Every week. That is awesome. I'm really excited you're doing that, Regina. So good deal. That's going to be cool. This morning, we also posted a new inspirational article to the Awakening Together website, and that's on the part of the site where it's under things to read, inspirational articles on the right. And it is, you may have seen it in the daily update. It's called Simple Man. And it is by Michael Lankford. So he has submitted us an article. I do a plan on reading that. The next announcement, starting this evening, we will no longer be recording the Craig Holiday satsangs. And we're making this change because he records them as videos. Instead of recording audios like we did previously, we're going to add his videos to a Craig Holiday playlist on the Awakening Together YouTube channel. You can find that link to the playlist on the Craig Holiday page on our website, and that is under Audios and Videos Featured Speakers, Craig Holiday Satsang. So that's Audios and Videos Featured Speakers, and then a little fly-out menu comes out for Craig Holiday Satsang. And let's see here. Yeah, so the last announcement is Cheryl Kaplan, our very own Cheryl, beloved Cheryl, has arrived at the Awakening Together Retreat House in La Vida around 8:30 on Wednesday night and is settling in. This is really exciting since this is another step towards opening the retreat house in January. Also, Hal Seeley and Tom Conway spent several days at the retreat house during our Italy pilgrimage building partitions for the ladies' dorm. And they're really nice. They don't go all the way up to the ceiling, so it's kind of an open space still, but it provides nice three divisions for three different women to stay there. And then that's also where Jacqueline has a little nook too as well for herself to stay. And we will keep you informed as additional progress is made on the retreat house. Now, that actually used to be the area where the garage was, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that, but I think it was the garage. And it was converted by the previous owners into a tiled, you know, drywalled workspace. And Jacqueline's saying that's true. So we've further converted it into a place that really could sleep four people total. And I have a personal announcement that is just developing as we speak. There's a house that's just behind the retreat house that, as spirit had it, is up for sale. And I was thinking about moving to Pueblo, and Regina put forth the idea, hey, why don't you move to La Vida instead? So I thought, well, that's interesting. And I got just this big yes from spirit, and I have actually purchased the house that is just behind the retreat house. I signed the contract yesterday. So I am soon to be the proud owner of of a property in Levita, Colorado, the beautiful mountain town of Levita, Colorado. It is very much like Tiruvannamalai there, by the way. It transports you into a different consciousness just being there. It's a beautiful, mystical place. It really is. My business, however, has taken a slight downturn lately. So the way that's kind of relates to my subject of my talk this morning about just accepting what comes. So I actually won't be able to physically move there probably for even up to a year. But I am still buying the house. I'm probably going to rent it out for that first year. And then when everything's all set, I will be moving out there to live in that house. There's an unfinished basement. I definitely have plans of making one or two possible apartments down there for renting out for other folks to live there as well. So we'll see how all that unfolds. I'm just taking everything one step at a time. So exciting development. Contract has been signed. So real steps have finally been taken on that. So me moving to Pueblo is, now a little bit more than just talk. So good stuff, exciting. All right, let's join here in prayer. Just still our minds a moment as we go within. Dear God, infinite being and love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from that one true source as my only guide. I put forth my trust and my willingness to walk the path of purification and healing that shall make the way clear to live in presence eternally. Amen. And so I'm going to stop here, and we're going to turn it back now to Lynn for another song. And right after that, we're going to have our very own Michelle Hudzianicki, who was with us on the Italy trip. And I got to know Michelle a lot more. I really connected with her a lot. And she's going to be reading NTI 1 Peter chapter 2, which is going to be the main subject of the message for today. So turning it over to you, Lynn.
When I was a boy each week, Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest, and he would read the holy word, and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is, everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two. Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad. Miracles don't happen still. Now I can't keep track. Cause everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small. Better magic trick, anything is here at all. So challenging thing to come, not to look for miracles, to finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, barely wet my fingertips. And now I have to hold my breath. Like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there. Heaven's second rain hand me down. But I walk into the river and there. Cause everything is holy now. Bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down. But I walk it with a reverent air, cause everything is holy.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. That was beautiful. I love that song. It seems like a lot of other people here love it too. That was great. It's always hard to come back after the songs Lynn plays, isn't it? So we are going to move on to the reading now by Michelle Hojnacki. And she's been with the Awakening Together community for quite a while. And she's actually first met Michelle through some of the MPP classes that I was facilitating. So, like I said, she went on the Italy trip with us. And I spent a couple of weeks every day with Michelle, and as well as, you know, 30 plus other people. So she agreed to be the reader for today. And again, she'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. She's going to read the entire NTI, 2 plus pages worth of material. So, she is on her iPhone, and we practiced getting on the mic earlier in the week, so hopefully this will go well. Michelle, turning it over to you.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning, everyone. NTI Peter chapter 2. In truth, you can rid yourself of nothing, for there is nothing to be rid of. You are pure and perfect and in communication now. Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. If something seems to have gone wrong or seems to be less than perfect, you are seeing through a veil of misperception. It is only this veil that must be lifted so you can see that it is all perfect and it has always been. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of yourself for something that is better than you in which to love. Seek only within, For when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this belief, you cannot find love, for what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Your perception is changing, and your experience of how you perceive the world is changing also, because you have become willing to experience yourself differently. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world, because the world is a reflection of your thoughts and feelings about you. Look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world, and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to yourself. If you resent this one's authority, you have a resentment against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you are not yet accepting the truth of you. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness, with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you, and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions. So this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperceptions be let go. Rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now as it stands for you to see. What you see is what you see, because it is a reflection of what is in your mind. What you see is not fact in that it cannot be changed or cannot be seen differently. What you see is only fact in that it is a fact, that it is a reflection of what is in your mind now. Accept this fact. Look at the reflection and see what you did not see before. All that you see is in your mind, and you are the power that can change it. Is what you see that which you know to be your truth? If it is not, it is a misperception, and it will fade away through your willingness to release it to do so.
Thank you, Michelle. That was a great reading. Thank you. So nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. Did you guys all get the memo on that one? Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. You know, one of the things that I experienced while I was on my trip to Italy, this was actually when I was with Michelle on a little trip we took to St. Mary's Church, which was in the valley in the area of Assisi. It's a large sort of Baroque church that was built over this very small 10 by 20 original replica of the original church that was originally there, a very small little place where the monks had gathered. But St. Francis started his ministry. And we had taken a taxi there. And at one point, Michelle handed me this picture of St. Francis that she had bought while we were shopping up above. Topside, she called it. There's a big cliff, sort of upper area where San Damiano is, and the old Assisi on the hill, the old brick buildings. And she had shopped up there and got this beautiful picture of St. Francis. And she said, well, hold on to this for a minute, because she was getting in something out of her purse. And I held on to it and then gave it back to her. And as we got out of the taxi to go into the little courtyard area of St. Mary's to just be in the presence of, you know, this church and do some meditation, I realized that I didn't have my journal with me anymore. My journal that was tucked in my pocket was gone. So, you know, of course I had the thought something had gone wrong, because I think in holding the picture, it pushed it out of my pocket and wound up, you know, in the crack between the door and the seat, or under the seat of the taxi. So I had a real choice at that moment to, you know, either suffer or to just be at peace. You know, I joked with myself. I said, maybe Francis didn't want me to have the journal. I think the truth is that the wisdom is written into our heart, and that I don't need to worry about the book that I wrote all my insights into. It's not all of them. It was just about the last 2 months worth of journalings and daily contemplations. Most of them I still have in my other journals. So this was just a chunk of them that were gone, but it was, you know, some writings that I really, I thought were really inspirational that were gone. You know, so of course I was tempted to think that at the time, you know, that something obviously had gone wrong. That just a little interesting story about something I'd be very tempted to think has gone wrong, right? All the things we're attached to. You know, it's interesting that also how everything unfolds so sort of in its own time and way, like this whole property coming up for sale that I'm buying in La Vida, and just the way everything is unfolding. The more and more I give my life to Spirit and show willingness to follow Spirit, even in financial decisions, you know, a different power, of course, takes over. And you feel like you're, you know, a bit on a slide, like a water slide, right? You're just moving, and you're trusting that the movement is going in the right direction, and because you don't really know exactly what's going to happen next. So it's actually kind of exciting and really neat. So it's interesting to get on that water slide and to take that journey of Spirit, and, you know, and try to really be in that space of, you know, nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It's all perfect, exactly as it should be. You know, when we look at our life, we can examine and sort of take an inventory of areas where we can typically think or see something has gone wrong. You know, you set a doctor's appointment. This happened to me just yesterday, and I didn't keep my peace due to unexpected traffic. I got there late, and I did get upset. And I'll talk about how I worked with that one here in a little bit, but I just was going to go through a few other possible suggestions that, you know, may or may not apply to you, of things that you still think go wrong, you know, in some little or big way. Maybe you call someone to say hi, but they don't call back. Maybe you lose your temper, or you yell at someone, or you get short or forceful with someone. Maybe, you know, you make dinner and it's not appreciated by your family like you would have wanted it to. Maybe someone under your supervision or employee doesn't do what they said, and you get upset with them. This is wrong. This is, you know, this has happened. This has failed. Of course, the big one is, you didn't win the lottery. You know, that's the greatest travesty for all of us, is that we didn't win the lottery, right? Which still hasn't happened to me, and that's, you know, anyway. Your health takes a downturn. You lose a relationship unexpectedly. You lose a job unexpectedly, or a contract. Like in my own business, I mentioned there was a bit of a sort of unexpected downturn. There was a really big contract that I was counting on to finance my life for quite a while and sort of get me going in Colorado. And that has fallen into sort of a big if. So that's affecting my ability to move there, but not buy the property. I just probably won't be able to move there for a little bit. But again, am I going to suffer? Has it gone wrong? You know, I'm really excited about moving there, but, you know, I still have to wait a little bit. You know, however it's going to happen is perfect. You know, of course, the big one is when we think something's gone wrong or failed, people, you know, just not acting the way we want them to, right? In general, you know, and of course, when you're around people, the people you're closest to, the people you spend a lot of time with, this is when the reflections start to come back to us stronger. You know, we start to have more opportunities to see. You know, and the truth is a lot of the happenings of our life occur with or without our say-so. You know, so much of what does occur around us and how people are is really up to their decision. You know, it's not in our direct control. So the whole idea of thinking something has failed or gone wrong is only a seeming experience, like NTI is teaching us. You know, it's, of course, getting to this, the thought of all is perfect is a big step. And it can be, it starts as an intellectual thought. But if we're seeing through our eyes, we are seeing with misperception, if we're seeing this. And the way we're taught misperception is really defined has to do with the underlying beliefs that you hold on to that contribute to it, that make it up. I may say this a few times during the talk, but you may not necessarily have the quality that you think you see in the other person. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's they're very forceful or short with you, or maybe they are, you know, disrespectful in some way, or they're not, you know, giving you credit where credit's due, or whatever it is that's not happening. It doesn't necessarily mean you, as a person seeing this, have that exact same quality, but it's more like the underlying beliefs that make up that structure to even make that thing possible, you know, such as, you know, someone being arrogant, someone knowing more than others, someone who is, there are people that are greater and less than other people, et cetera, things like that. So it's a big, big thing to move in that direction by looking at what those underlying beliefs are. Like, getting back to my example of being late to my doctor's appointment. What happened to me is I had a tooth pulled out. This was, almost 2 years ago now, a molar, the upper molar. And it turns out that the bones in my face are really thin up above where my teeth are into my sinuses. So when he pulled that tooth out, that little bit of bone got pulled out with it. So it's kind of like there's an open hole between my gum all the way up into my sinuses, and that needs to be fixed. So that's what I was going into the doctor for. It's kind of like a surgery consult, and the insurance isn't going to cover it. So there's another thing I'm tempted to think should be a different way, right? Those damn insurance companies. So obviously that's more more work for me there to work with my misperceptions there. So my example of being late to this appointment, you know, I hit into traffic and I found myself getting kind of pissed off, and, you know, I got upset, when I was there, and then I fumbled with my phone because I couldn't pick up when they were trying to call because I was trying to find a parking spot, which was really difficult at the time. I made it there like 15 minutes late. I did the work with this. What I remembered was, as a kid, my mother was always kind of disorganized and not really punctual in picking me up. I had a lot of painful experiences as a kid, feeling abandoned, feeling uncared for, worthless. When she would, like, I'd go to my piano lessons and I'd have to wait like a half hour. And several times I had to wait 45 minutes, and as a kid, that's a long time just to be picked up. So, you feel forgotten, you feel, just abandoned. No, there wasn't any cell phones at that time. So it's like you just had to count on the person being there, which is hard for a lot of people, under a certain age to even comprehend that you couldn't contact someone at any time. You had to, like, go home to make a phone call. Those days are long gone. But, so I didn't have any, all these kids have cell phones now, so their moms can call them. But so this belief in unworthiness was triggered when I was going late. Now, usually I'm not late to pick up people and to arrive. That quality isn't like in my human consciousness. That's not part of my personality. I'm pretty punctual everywhere I go, generally speaking. It was interesting how all that those beliefs about, if I'm late, that means that I'm worthless or I'm uncared for or I'm showing, it triggered all of that. Then that belief is what the underlying belief is that's false, right, that I have to let go of and look at. So in my own work with that, it was really great for me to see that. And, nothing, it has not gone wrong. And this is where, like, the title of the talk was about, everything we see is a gift. And it was a gift so I could be grateful to see what it was, so it could be healed. And in looking at it and bringing it to my awareness with gratitude and with compassionate eyes, with soft eyes, that healing is accepted. When I'm opening to myself, looking at that, being with that, that is when the healing is accepted. It was a gift. Me being late to the doctor's appointment was a gift, and getting upset about it, because that's why, of a misperception that was unhealed in me. So we'll see the next time I'm late to a doctor's appointment, if I still get upset. Well, probably not, but we'll see. And this is, again, a repetition of what was read by Michelle. Everything you see and the way you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. Of course, the Course in Miracles has a ton of teachings about this. A thought never leaves the mind that it's in, etc. All of that. It's all there. It's all the same teaching. And the key here is that we need to cultivate the willingness to look. It can be very easy to overlook. Sonia is saying, perfect, George, and I just spoke about this 10 minutes before you spoke. That's cool. The cool thing is that there is that willingness to cultivate, right? That willingness to cultivate that willingness to look. It can be easy to overlook these things or to think you already know this or to think this is some basic teaching you don't need to review, but really it's the key to awakening. We have to look to see where those misperceptions are buried. You remember, the mind is an entire mechanism that doesn't want you to do that. Everything you'll ever see in society, on TV and movies, is going to tell you, not to look within. Everything you see is going to tell you to remain unconscious, to just blame, chalk it up as the way life is, go have a drink at the bar, numb yourself, do whatever you got to do. My screensaver just activated here. Hold on just a minute here. I gotta get back to my computer. Hopefully you can hear me. There we go. So it's just to look, you know, and it doesn't even take long. When you look, the moment of peace is right around the corner. It's just a little moment of looking. That's all it takes. You know, and that pain of looking is so brief. I find when you're willing, and when you do it with spirit, with the help of that inner guide that's there always for you, it really doesn't hurt. It really doesn't take that long either. In the actual Bible, in 1 Peter 2, it says, at least in the version I have, there's a zillion different versions, but this says, for 1 Peter chapter 2, rid ourselves of all malice and all deceit, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for spiritual milk. You know, and that baby just drinking in the milk for its very life existence, or the little animal drinking from its mother's milk to just, it's the manifestation of that love of wanting, you know, what feeds us, what nourishes us is that true wisdom. We are not able to live without that connection to spirit, without that sustenance, the knowledge of our truth, which is so expansive and so grand and so connected to all, that this misperception that we hold, that are all unconscious and stuck, are actually limiting us from the freedom and expansive truth that is the reality of our existence, being all, in the rock, in the paper, in the computer screen, in the desk, in the people, in the sky, in everything. You know, and it is through this process that our veil is lifted to see all is perfect. You know, whatever the thing that's wrong that's happening, your dinner is not appreciated, you're late to the apartment, someone that you're working with doesn't do what they're supposed to do, someone tries to screw you over, whatever it is, you got to get to the way of seeing it as all is perfect. The only way you can get there, you know, this is not just my thought, but, you know, many teachers and teachings have the same thought, that the whole purpose of life is for us to learn, to us to heal, to return thinking we're a self, to letting go of that, to realizing we're all one. That is the whole purpose of life, to go through that process from that healing that thought, letting it go. You know, living only on that spiritual milk. You know, so seeing all as perfect is obviously the end goal as to where we live every day. And all of these things that happen are then seen as what they are and as okay. And this, of course, is highlighted by Michael Lankford's loving all method that we often talk about. And you just can't get there purely intellectually. You just can't. You know, I think many of us have tried for many years to do that at different points in our path. And it's not that my path was purely intellectual, but it was largely intellectual. I mean, I did make some progress, but I kept going back in order to, you know, think that that's the answer, you know, to read more books, to do all this. You know, but that's in a way searching, right? And we find by looking within. We find by looking within. And we're taught to seek only within. You know, we have to feel it. We have to go through the feeling of it to look at these misperceptions and get over the fear of looking bad in front of our spiritual peers, or not appearing spiritual, or looking a certain way to other people. These things do creep into your mind. You know, we all have these thoughts of the self and egos. You know, these are oftentimes the thoughts that stop us from really looking. We want to appear a certain way. maintain a certain identity, you know, that doesn't help the awakening. None of that helps the awakening for you to maintain all of that. It just keeps you stuck right where you're at. You know, when we're in a place of seeing beauty and love in everyone and in everything, seeing sacredness, including the paper you're writing on, you know, you'll realize love is not outside of you. You know, you are love itself. You know, there's such a great feeling of sameness that's starting to kind of pervade my life, which is really cool. I actually forgot I was in Italy a few days. Like, I woke up, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in Italy. Like, I forgot where I was physically. I still thought I was, you know, back home or wherever. You know, so but I felt a great sameness. Like, I don't really feel much different now than I did in Italy, which is kind of a new thing for me. When I've been on other trips, I've, you know, felt very different being in these other places. And it certainly is awesome to be there. Don't get me wrong. It feels like Assisi was popped up out of some storybook somewhere. It's just remarkable. So, you know, the willingness to look within gives me, you know, the change in my feelings regarding myself. I mean, that's one of the big teachings of NTI 1 Peter 2. It changes the way you feel within yourself. It expands that feeling of being connected. It's no longer tiny, small. You start to feel grander and connected to everything, and you don't see yourself as the worthless, low self-value sinner anymore. It's you know, you're innocent. Everything you've ever done that would be called a sin is a mistake. And so, of course, because that changes, your perception of the world changes, because it's just one big filter, as we know. We see outside ourselves only to the degree of what we see inside. If I see and accept all the things that are in me more and more and more, then I see such beauty in the homeless guy, in someone even, we see something, two people arguing. You know, you see the beauty. You know, I think it was Amma who was asked by one of her disciples, but Amma, what about all the conflict and the strife and the war and the people fighting? She says, like, I'm not aware of any of that. I see love everywhere. She doesn't have that consciousness. She doesn't see conflict. Those thoughts, that she does not see that. She just sees love interacting with love. You know, and I think we're all, as we choose this, I know I'm certainly becoming more like that, where I don't have the judgments associated with many of the things I used to. They're just gone. I don't even remember how I used to think about it. I just don't see it like that anymore. It just purifying out of me over time as I practice. You know, other things that were discussed here in NTI about resenting another's authority, you know, what resentment in yourself do you have? You know, to be happy, to be free of that, you got to look within. That the person is the gift. You know, that's the gift. If you find yourself thinking that others, you want them to be different. Why isn't this person this way? Why don't they be different? This sucks. I don't like this person the way they are. You know, what is it? You know, what is it that you're not accepting about your own beliefs that you wish were different? You know, acceptance isn't about accepting the nice things that are already in alignment. It's accepting that which is not in alignment. You practice acceptance with things that you have judgments about. You practice acceptance with things that are a problem, that are not where they should be in your mind. There's such gifts that we can sometimes overlook, or it can just creep back in. You know, these old ways just start creeping back in if you don't stay on top of it and keep focused with it. I know this, I had a judgment thought going through my mind is, you know, why are you talking about this today, Jay? This is something we've talked about 100 times, you know, but I just followed what spirit was guiding me to do to, you know, be here, be with this. I got a clear message to talk about 1 Peter chapter 2 today. So, you know, in looking, I realized there's still places I can look that I haven't yet. So this was a good refresher, a good touch up, sort of a good reconnection with it. You know, that our misperceptions are what need to be healed, and the world's just nothing but a reflection of our own minds. And we have to acknowledge our feelings about these things. You know, if you don't want to say them to others, that's fine, but at least acknowledge it to yourself. You know, don't, thank you, Regina. Regina just typed on the board, we talked about it a lot of times, but we need to be reminded 1 million times. Another teaching in here that's very important is the teaching that the things you see in the other person or the situation, you very well may not have in your own personality set. And the mind will want to use that to justify the story it wants to create about the thing it sees, right? Say, I'm never late. And then someone shows up late. Oh, how could this person be late? What a loser. I can't believe they're showing up late. They don't even care about what we're doing. You know, so if I judge that like that, which I don't, I just made that up. But I would be looking at that, and I think I have judged people in the past for being late. I don't currently do that, but I certainly have in the past judged people in my mind for being late, or thought I was better than them because I'm not late and they are. But all of that sort of judgment was from my own past unhealed beliefs that related to unworthiness around this being late thing. These were the misperceptions. Nothing to do with anything. You know, it was purely, I see the world as a reflection of my mind. That's it. The underlying beliefs are what must be examined. So, you know, no, you may not have the exact personality quality, but that can be a trap that the mind uses. You got to examine the beliefs that are supporting it. Like every bridge has beams that are supporting it. And if those beams are taken out, the bridge falls down. Or the block in the dam in the river that the little beaver builds has got all these logs and twigs and debris all stacked up, and they make the little home in there. But you got to pull all the logs out. You know, on the Mississippi River, a bunch of river boats, many dozens and dozens of river boats were sunk, and people died because there was logs, impediments in the river that over time had to be taken out and cleared to where the river boats could actually flow without being damaged and destroyed and all the goods lost and so forth. It was a museum in Kansas City I went to recently that had an exposition about that. And so, and also when we're looking, it's important to remember to be careful to ask to be shown only our misperceptions. And as you go back to look, don't build cases and justifications when you're looking. You know, forget about the situation. You almost have to disconnect a minute and forget about the situation, right? And as we practice, as we, you know, even spend time around each other and, you know, as time goes on and we continue to practice, these things will keep coming back because the mind is so crafty and deceptive and tricky, and it will try to hide in anything and everything. You know, if awakening was easy, sainthood was easy, everyone would do it, right? And I really am grateful for the incredible dedication of the people that are around me, for Jacqueline and Regina and Ken's hard work and everybody's dedication to the practice, to learning, to continuing. It's such a rare treat, and I just think we need to take a minute to be grateful for each other, because we really, that supports ourselves, it supports each other. And Cheryl is, yes, and Cheryl is going to be giving full time now to the retreat center in a huge role. You know, this is just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You know, nobody does this. This is this is really rare, even in the spiritual community. That, and I'm not trying to make us special. I'm just trying to say this is really important work we're doing. You know, to really look, to do the real work. It's such a gift. It's such a treat. There was kind of a cool photo too that we took. There was kind of a little sort of mystical happening that happened in Italy, involving Cheryl. Cheryl got the message when we were Michelle and I and Kay and her were all meditating in St. Francis's cave in Assisi, and it was raining. She got the message to stand up and take a photo right at a certain moment, and she kind of resisted it but did it anyway. She took the photo, but as she took it, there was these white crosses that appeared above, in front of, and above each and every one of us in the photo, clearly visible. They were like sort of orbs type, but in a clear shape of a cross, and it was really cool. Kind of a little mystical sort of encouragement there, just a little symbol, you know, that was very neat. Also, you know, we ask through our desire. What activates the creative stuff of the mind in the creative process is our desire. Our thoughts then form around that desire, and that's when manifestation happens. So when we want awakening, when we want to be shown our misperceptions, we are activating mind to bring us this. We're activating mind to bring us to be shown what our misperceptions are. And the freedom lies in the looking. The freedom lies in the looking. Imprisonment lies in the ignoring. It's freedom in the looking. So all those long-term patterns, they all can be healed. They soften, they loosen up when we look. And they're scrubbed clean, like deeply, you know, that grime on a pot or a pan that's just that very faint grime, and you really got to scrub for a long time to get it out. That's kind of what I compare it to, you know. I really am. And I just saw that. Grateful to you too, Jacqueline. I really am grateful for you. You're one of my greatest teachers to see in me. You know, and we gotta rest in innocence. You know, we're really innocent. Everything we've done to piss other people off, or everything we've gotten pissed off about, it's just truly innocent. It doesn't amount to a hell of crap. It really doesn't at the end of the day. You know, it just doesn't. All of these things are, they're just for laughter. They don't amount to anything. None of it. Well, everything we see is made up. Just like loosen up a little bit around it, right? We can just take life a little lighter. Anything we've done ever that's not truly based in a loving heart are all done from our misperceptions. And we're innocent. They're just simply mistakes, right? As my heart grows, as we all grow in heart, that's when we're able to embrace and hold these misperceptions as being okay in ourselves, right? You know, the things that we think we've done that were wrong, that were sinful, that were bad, that were mean to other people, that were even deceptive or hurt, you know, those are the things we have the hardest time forgiving. The hurtful things we did to other people, that's what we find the hardest to hold in ourselves, right? That's what gets us. But when we can just close our eyes and hold it and realize it's okay, I just had a misperception about da 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 because of my own stuff about da 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 da, that's okay. I hold it. I've done the work. I've looked. I've gutted up, You know, you got to gut up and look and be, and then just a moment later it's gone, and the love comes in, and it's okay. It isn't that bad. It doesn't hurt that bad. The medicine doesn't taste that bad. It's just a moment of discomfort, and then it's gone, and that's it. And it's right back to the joy, right back into the pain. The looking really isn't that bad. It's really not. That's the sliver coming out. Michael Singer, right? That's the sliver. It hurts just for a moment as the sliver comes out, right? Rather than building the mechanisms around the sliver and expanding the doors in our rooms so we can walk around with this giant armor and figuring out ways to even hug people with the giant armor around, you know, all that hilarious story he goes into about, instead of just pulling out the thorn, we adapt everything else to keep the thorn just because we don't want to experience that little bit of pain that it takes to just pull it out. It's perfectly okay to experience that little bit of pain. It doesn't even hurt that bad. You know, so of course, and the tip too talks about Job and Peace Pilgrim and how their faith in God and their inward looking, as we could say, was so strong that they were unshaken. You know, this poor guy gets boils over his whole body, which I've had a few of those, and they're incredibly painful. He hit them all over his body. He's like, oh, God is good. You know, he didn't crack. Peace Pilgrim. Oh, well, if it's time to drop the body, peace out, everyone. This is done. This is temporary. I'm ready to let it go. It obviously wasn't her time. She got guided to a bridge, and there was a box with some papers that she could stay warm. But the willingness was there. You know, and these experiences are just tests of our faith, you know. In a way, my own, you know, test of my faith about buying this house in La Vida. You know, it's a jump. It's a leap. This is a leap for me. But it feels exciting at the same time. And certainly nothing compared to boils over my entire body or having to drop the body like Peace Pilgrim. So I just, you know, my time's coming short here, but you know, the types of challenges we bitch and moan about in our own process of faith are so minor, everyone, compared to what people had to deal with back a long time ago. I mean, you had to worry about things like getting selected to be entertainment for these games. They had to find a supply of prisoners and people that called themselves followers of the way, Christians, conquered all these people to kill off in creative and fun ways in the Colosseum as a preparation for this gladiator battle. So they had to, this whole, I'm sure many teams of people trying to go find people that they're going to come have slaughtered, right? And these acceptable people that would have come to be slaughtered were who we call Christians, amongst other people too. So like the sort of challenges of faith that we struggle with now are nothing compared to what the sort of life and death scenarios that in so much of, I guess, what we have in our imagined past have had. It makes me feel, what do they call that? First world problems, right? Oh my God, the store didn't have milk. Oh my God, I only have $7 million rather than $9 million. The world is ending. You know, these are... These are first world problems, right? these are nothing compared to what they dealt with. So it just makes me feel really, wow, you know, whew, you know, like we got it easy. You know, this is first world problems we're dealing with here. Super easy stuff, right? So good times. All right. So that wraps up the teaching. We just got one final note. Accept the fact that, you know, what we see is a reflection of our mind. That's the only fact we need to accept. It's not a fact that, oh my God, this person was this way. No, they weren't that way. The only fact is that it's a reflection of what's in our mind. That's it. That's the only fact. So that's what I'll close on. And just let's be in that willingness to see what we didn't see before. Let's look at the reflection. Let's just love the thing or person that's triggering us. It's okay. They're innocent. They didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, they're just showing you as a gift, right? As a gift. So let's heal those misperceptions as we do that, as we practice. As Regina teaches, we stoke the fire of all of humanity to awaken. This is all of us together. We're one mind. Every little meditation we do, every inward looking makes it easier for everyone else to look inward too. We're all lifting up. Everything's lifting up. So let's do this together. And I am excited. So awesome stuff. All right, turning it back to you for our closing song. Signing off. Okay, back to you, Lynn.
Insane thoughts of separation and attack. Is the knowledge that all is one forever? I have not lost the knowledge of who I am because I've forgotten it. It has been kept for me in the mind of God. It has been kept for me.
Thank you, Lynn. That was once again a perfect song. I can always count you for that. Open sharing. So does anyone, we have just a few minutes, does anyone want to take the mic and share for a couple of minutes before we transition to the fellowship time? Okay, Regina, I see your hand.
All right. Hello, everyone, and hello, Jay. And I think the first thing I want to say is, you know, it really feels exciting after being in Italy with everyone. You know, of course, there's a closeness that happens when we get to be together in body, especially for a long time, like on a two-week pilgrimage. And then coming back here and having the retreat house begin to really unfold, you know, with Cheryl arriving, and of course, Lori Coburn came with her temporarily. You know, and having our first meal in the retreat house, many of y'all may have seen that picture, and then having Jay by the house directly behind the retreat house, and you know, it's just fun to watch all of this happen, and I'm really excited about, you know, the fact that this online community is going to begin to become more physically present with each other. I'm very excited about that, and it's going to be so much fun to see how this all unfolds. But that's not why I took the mic. I took the mic because when Jay was sharing, he shared one thing that reminded me very much of a quote that we contemplated while we were in Italy. He talked about how in the world, the mind tells us to numb ourselves out, right? When problems arise or when the going gets tough, just numb yourself out in whatever way you do. I used to always say that movies are my drug of choice. I would literally on Saturdays and Sundays watch 4 or 5 movies, eat my favorite junk foods. I mean, this is how I numbed myself out. And you know, for some people, it's, you know, drinking, smoking pot, doing other drugs, et cetera, et cetera. For some people, it's sex. You know, we all have ways of doing that. Well, that reminded me of a quote from Saint Benedict, and this is the quote. Don't be addicted to your own self-image or to anything else that promises cheap fulfillment or an easy escape from problems. You know, Jay was talking about holding things, even those things that are very, very hard, like when we hurt each other, and reminding ourselves, it's okay, it's okay. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was so funny the way he said it. I was just thinking, you know, dot, 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 because I believed, dot, dot, dot. It's okay that I made my mistake, and you know, just holding it. And this is where, again, on the spiritual path, this is where not everyone, you could say, finishes, because the uncomfortable stuff we continue to want to avoid. You're looking at the belief that I am bad, we continue to want to avoid. Walking towards anything that we're afraid of, we continue to want to avoid. And you know what? It's just like Jesus says in the Course, you have to walk through the darkness to the light. And so this quote by Saint Benedict is really a very, very helpful quote so that we can look at our addictions. You know, how am I avoiding? How am I numbing out? And again, it includes everything from smoking pot to blaming others, right? I mean, there's a wide range of how we do this, and we each have to discover our own ways of doing it. But basically, it's how am I avoiding awakening, right? How am I avoiding awakening? So here's the quote again from Saint Benedict. Don't be addicted to your own self-image or to anything else that promises cheap fulfillment or an easy escape from problems. And thank you very much, Jay. I thought that your teaching this morning was very inspirational.
Yeah, thank you, Regina. And I did also feel close to be with everyone on the Italy trip. That was awesome to be closer to everybody. I have Joanne. Looks like you're Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, Hi, everybody. I'm glad you guys had a good time in Italy. I just wanted to thank you very much, Jay, for your service. You really hit home on a few points, and it's just so interesting to see how parallel our lives are. You know, the circumstances vary a little bit, but the stories are the same, you know. And it just helps me to put things in perspective. I'm in the middle of selling my home and, you know, running into septic drama. And I'm thinking, like, this is never going to happen. And I did something very uncharacteristic the other day. I, like, lit into the realtor. And after I did it, I laughed because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, this isn't even me. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh my God, and I was gonna apologize, and I'm like, I need to forgive myself first. Let's just have like a cooling off period here. But ever since I can remember, I've always wanted to be in Colorado. Even when I was a little girl, I wanted to be in Colorado. I used to draw pictures of the mountains, and I've been there several times. I know, I'm trying, believe me. I might be trying a little too hard. Worst case scenario, I'll be out to the retreat center for a vacation. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Jay's going to have a house to rent. Yeah, somebody needs to put in an in-law apartment for me somewhere with a cheap rent. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I know I'll make it eventually. And it's just interesting to see, like, all these things that we, you know, stumble on. Just to have faith and to know that everything is okay. And that's all. I'm getting lost in my own thought, but I just want to say thank you, and I will listen to this again and let it sink in even more, and I'll talk to you guys all later.
Hey, thanks, Joanne. How fun would that be? A lot of people start moving out to La Vida and to Pueblo. Take over the town of La Vida. It is the church of awakening. I'm just joking. if anybody wants to email me, they can email me at this address. J@awakening-together.org. So really exciting. I feel Regina's comment about the fun and the excitement, and that to me is so more in the forefront. The fun and the excitement, that's kind of where I'm at in the space of just kind of looking forward to everything as it unfolds. So never before did I get such a strong yes when Regina told me about that house behind the retreat center. It was like ringing through my whole being. Was like, yes. I didn't have that quite as strong with other options I was considering. So when that struck so clearly, I'm like, act on it. And Regina knows me. She knows that I will make financial commitments on things I feel that yes for, because when I first met her, within days, you know, this strange woman I just met is asking me to go to India with her. And I said, yes, you know, because I just felt that resonating yes, and put thousands of dollars to a plane ticket. So, you know, when I get the yes, I put my money where the yes is. So it's exciting. You know, I guess I consider myself a risk-taking person, right? Like I have my own business and stuff like that. So I guess in that sense, these sort of leaps of faith maybe are a little easier for me, because that is a quality of the body, mind, personality of Jay, as being a bit of a risk taker. Sometimes that's gotten me into trouble, particularly in the stock market. But again, all is perfect. Those are big lessons I had to forgive myself for. Time is up. Thank you for sharing, everybody, and the wonderful comments. And Jim is saying he was in Colorado. I'm turning it over to for the fellowship hour, Kate is going to be taking from here. So George is hosting today, so I will turn it now over to you, George. I forgot about that, sorry. Thanks. Okay, your mic, George.
Mm-hmm. sweet new rains they fall. A bright new sun does rise in my Savior's eyes. In my Savior's eyes. Come, but you were always here. I cannot find my fear in my Savior's eyes, in my Savior's. Savior's eyes, and you have finally come, but you were always here. I cannot find my fear in my Savior's eyes. Savior's eyes. Ah,